Love Wins with Benita and Friends is your relationship, passion, and lifestyle podcast. Join me and my friend in a lively conversation about all things love. Grab your glass because Love Wins starts now.
Welcome to Love Wins with Benita and Friends. We are here. It's been a long time since we've been on air. This is our rebranding and it's spring, so perfect time to start over. I am by myself now. I am a solo host podcaster, but I'm excited about it. I have some wonderful friends that I'm going to be introducing you to over the course of time. And so we're going to jump right in. So today I am bringing to you a friend, a person I call a friend. She's an author. She is an experienced psychotherapist. And you know, we all need that. She's a licensed professional counselor and a certified substance abuse counselor. But today we're going to talk about relationships and we're going to talk about her book called The Truth About the Lies, What Women Tell Themselves That Keep Them Stuck with Cheating Men. I welcome my friend Sharon Matthews Fortune. Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Benita, and thank you so very much for having me on your show. And I'm so thrilled to be your first guest for your solo show. Yay!
So, you know, got a baby girl, got to fly sometimes. I got the big wings on.
I'm flying with you. Let's go.
So, you know, I love your book. I've had you on my other show, Books and Bottles, and let's see, that'll air before this show. So folks will get to see you. So this time my other people will get to hear you, but we're going to talk about your book and we're going to talk about why you wrote this book and wherever else this conversation goes. So, let's go. Why did you need to write this book?
Well, that's a good question because, I mean, there are tons and tons and tons of books written every year on the subject of cheating and cheaters and, you know, the lies that the cheater tells the woman and the struggles that she goes through and, you know, all of that. But I didn't feel like there was anything that I had seen come out where it was addressing the woman's role in the relationship drama, you know, in the dysfunction of the relationship, and dealing with it from the stance of her beliefs and her, you know, the way she shows up in the relationship. I was looking at, you know, Google and just looking at relationship books, you know, you see all the populace, the Steve Harvey, act like a lady, think like a man, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just felt that there was like this gaping hole where, you know, we weren't addressing what was truly going on with the woman in these relationships. And so I thought, well, let me just kind of tap into that because working with women in my practice, you know, and you know, the book, of course, is not therapy, but working with women in the practice, you go deeper and every woman has a story, you know, and every woman is trying to find her footing and find her way. And I wanted this book to be like a mirror that would assist her with seeing herself as she's showing up in this relationship and then making adjustments from that place. So the book is, you know, one that's structured to lead women back to their themselves, the self that they left behind to exist in this relationship with the cheater.
I think that is, you know, you make a really good point when you mention Steve Harvey's book and books like that. I think there are so many books out there that tells us, and by us, I mean women, how we should behave. You know, and it's not always from other women, you know, who tell us what we should do. And also, I think like what your book does, it kind of holds the mirror up, you know, to those of us who find ourselves in this situation, you know, holds the mirror up so we can see, you know, this is who we are. And then, you know, as you said, it's not therapy, but sometimes when we see ourselves, we want to fix it.
Yes, exactly. And that's the goal, you know, to have the woman to see herself in the pages and to identify her own, you know, wounds and then work towards healing. So that, you know, the primary focus is healing, healing the relationship with yourself. You know, we put so much focus on the relationship with the male, you know, and the cheating and all those aspects of things. And that is a big issue. But I think that, you know, women need to be driven back to healed the relationships with themselves and show up as yourself. Bring your whole self into the relationship so that you can make decisions from a place of wholeness versus a broken place.
And I've had the chance to read the book. And so, you know, although it's not therapy, you know, it's definitely therapeutic, you know, to kind of, you know, see the story and kind of see it play out. You're like, ooh, that's me and that's me and that's me. You know, you can kind of see all these different things and all of the excuses we've given ourselves to kind of, while we're in this and while we stay in this.
Yes, I wanted it to be a primer. You know how you put primer on the wall before you put the paint on? So I wanted it to like be a primer for therapy because, you know, we got a whole lot of popcorn therapy out there. You know, people who kind of come out and give advice, you know, without knowing the undercurrent that's going on. And I don't like that. So I said, well, you know, I want this to be a primer because with this book, you can get comfortable with the uncomfortable stuff. You know, you see yourself, you acknowledge what you've been doing, and then you got to go and do your work. You know, you got to go and kind of unpack some of the stuff that caused you to show up in that way. So it's a primer. It's a good primer for therapy. Every wall needs primer before you put the paint
on. Right. Before you paint. So,
yeah.
Good analogy. I like it. So before we get into, so you describe 8 personalities or types of women, you know, who what accept the truth about the lies in your book.
Yeah.
So before we get into that though, do you find that, I mean, I'm guessing this came about or you were able to identify different types through your practice and what you do?
Yeah, through the practice, through relationships with friends, family, strangers talking in, you know, the grocery store, or whatever. My daughter always said that she thought I had an invisible sign on my head that said therapist, because I always end up in these deep conversations with people.
I get it in the beauty parlor.
Exactly.
I listen to women's stories while we're in the salon. You know, and I'm like shaking my head like that's ridiculous, you know, and then I got my own stories that I'm not telling.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, just those conversations and in my own, you know, my own personal life as well. You know, I've been journaling even before it was called journaling. You know, I used to have a diary. Okay. And I started my diary, and every Christmas I wanted a new diary. So, you know, I've been writing and just kind of putting my thoughts down for a very, very, very long time. And they always tell you don't go back and read what you write, but I do. So
I do too. You know. I do too. Yeah. I have some old ones, like I keep in my nightstand. Uh-huh. And so I'm working with a person who's putting together a book, and it's a collective of different people's journeys. And
okay.
So when he asked, I remember a journal entry, and I remember that it was March of 2010. And so I had to go dig out that particular one, you know, and find it, because once I, basically my whole little piece, all I did was take my journal entry and write it for the book, because it was, it fit perfectly with what we were talking about. And I think, you know, sometimes writing, I think going back to reading it for me kind of helps me show growth, like where
yes.
I was 11 years ago versus where I am today.
Exactly. Yes. You definitely see that growth. Yes. So I use some of, you know, those during my own journaling and conversations that I'd had over the years with people and therapy as well, you know, using some of that. And I just kind of started to see these like common patterns of thinking, these themes that women would come up with that were keeping them kind of stuck. You know, they start to create these stories that were like a script. And every time I would hear it, I was like, wow, there's that script again. You know, it was like, just really like pulling out the script, what she would start to say. It was like women who'd never seen each other before, never, you know, never crossed each other's paths, different ages, different races, but that belief was so common. And I started to write them down, all the beliefs, you know, that I would hear of why she was staying, you know, what she was telling herself that was keeping her in the relationship. I started to just, you know, write it down. And then I started to just put, you know, we like labels. So I started to kind of categorize them and based on what the lie was or what the belief was, I started to put it in categories. And then that's how I came up with the characters that are books. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, this fits here. And that sounds like, you know, Blind, you know, and this one sounds like this. And so, you know, we'll go into the characters, but that's how I really came to write it in the voice of the character. And Benita, I chose to write it in the voice of the character because, let me tell you, I know you'll agree with me. Nobody wants you to call them on their stuff, right?
That's the truth.
Okay. And somebody comes to you and said to you, well, Benita, you've been lying to yourself. You're either going to become defensive or offended, right?
Yes.
And we're not going to get anywhere. The message will be lost right there because then the focus is going to go with you trying to prove.
They shut down.
Yeah, exactly. So I figure, you know, everybody likes a story and there's a storyteller in all of us anyway. So let's tell this, let's write this book from the scope of the character image of the woman that shows up in the relationship. So and it's fun.
It has a real narrative, you know, type of flow to it. You know, it doesn't read like a book from a therapist because you're kind of just, you're describing like my aunt, my best friend, you know, me, my sister, you know, these people that we know.
Yes, yes. And I wanted it to be familiar. I wanted it to be engaging. I wanted it to be you know, enlightening most of all. And I felt like you get more of that from reading a story or a scenario versus, you know, something that's speaking directly at you. You know, it's just like going to the movies. We go to the movies and we walk out with that warm feeling or that feeling like I'm going to make some changes, you know, because you've seen the story. So, you know, you can kind of find yourself in the story. Remember Girls Trip? You know, I'm quite sure women walk out of that movie feeling like, yes, you know, I saw myself in this character.
Yes. Or you saw one that you really rather be, you know, it's like,
right,
it might be the Tiffany Haddish, but I want to be the Jada or vice versa.
Right.
Yes, I see. So let's jump on in here. Let's just jump right on in to this book. So the first one I want to talk about is The Blind.
Okay.
And I want to talk about The Blind because as I was reading and, you know, The Blind is first, you know, in the book. So, and one of the lies that she tells herself, and this is so common that women do, they'll say all men are cheaters.
Yes. Yes. That is one of the most common lies that we tell ourselves that keep us stuck with cheating men. Because if all men are cheaters, then why leave your cheater to go and hook up with another cheater?
To be with another one, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it all, you know, and that lie is so damaging because it kills hope. You know, it kills the reality that you can actually be in a relationship with a man who's going to honor you and be faithful. You know, it takes that belief away. So, you know, that belief, that's one where she shows up, you know, you're fighting to stay in that relationship anyway. You know, you don't want to leave it for whatever reason. And there's various reasons why women choose to stay in a relationship. But if she can believe that all men are cheaters, then she can deal with her cheater.
It frees her. You know, I think it frees her because she ain't really, it's going to happen. It's like she's already accepted that pain that this is going to happen.
Yes, you know, exactly. So. And, you know, each character is just hiding from pain anyway. She's trying to avoid the pain that will come from the reality of being in the relationship with the cheater and what's really going on and what she's really putting up with. So, you know, you're totally correct. You know, it keeps her from having to really, really, really absorb that pain full throttle. And so in that chapter, I had a lot of fun with that chapter because, you know, that chapter came from, that chapter came from watching my brother, my uncle, my daddy, my grandpa.
You could do a whole study on my daddy.
Exactly. The friends, you know, I was a girl who always had, I was kind of tomboyish because my brother was a little bit older and I used to follow him. So I had more male friends always than I had female friends. And of course I was privy to their conversations and how they saw women and how they treated women. So, you know, that chapter I had a lot of fun with because I could pull from all of those resources. And, you know, I pointed out that all men are not cheaters. You have cheaters and then you have men who have cheated. And it's a very distinct difference between the two. And so this chapter is specifically for the woman to get real. And let's look at which one you with. You know, are you with a cheater or are you with a man who has cheated? Let's get that out the way first. And then once you figure out which one you're with, now let's navigate based on who you are in the relationship with.
Okay. So I have a question. This isn't in the book, but it just kind of popped in my head when you were talking about the man who's cheated versus the man who has cheated. Uh-huh. Is it specifically dealing with the man who has been in a physical relationship, or does it deal with also the emotional side? Like, because some women feel like, you know, if he has this emotional relationship with this woman, he's never been physical with her, but that's still cheating. So yeah. Is that dealing with that?
Yes, it's from both stances. Because, you know, we as women typically are emotional beings. And him having an emotional affair is just as serious.
And sometimes they seem more powerful.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I've had men to, you know, come into my practice who are in emotional affairs and, you know, they are struggling to end it, where the ones with the physical affairs, it's like, okay, it's done, you know, no more sex, you know, done. Yeah. But that emotional affair, you know, it gets down to the soul, you know, you kind of got to deal with this soul tie that they created. So yeah, it's talking about both of them, the physical and the emotional affairs. Yes.
Okay. All right. And so I do have to say this too, because it's so funny. And this is a part of the blind character. She means nothing to him. Why do women feel like, you know, that when our man is cheating, that we're still the superior one? You know, do they feel like, I'm thinking of like that that song, She's Got Papers, you know. Are we superior just because we have the legal attachment?
Right. Or the longevity in the relationship, or you're the one who he takes on the, you know, around the family, you know, or whatever, you know, that's a very common one too. She means nothing to him. And I see women who really, really struggling to believe and to set the scenario where this woman is a non-factor. And it's impossible for you to, you know, approach it in that way. In truth, you know, of course that's not the truth. Of course she means something to him, but that pain that the woman will, we as women will have to absorb if we then, you know, accept that, okay, well, she means something to him too. And he's in that relationship because, you know, she's giving him something that maybe I'm not giving him, or whatever, you know, that part of it. Yeah, we try to shield ourselves from, in order to make a status, you know, have a different status, you know. Yeah, my priority status is here and hers is there, you know. And then, you know, if you take that belief on, then you're not healing the relationship issues, you're not healing yourself either. You're spending your time and energy on trying to make her a non-factor in the relationship, you know. So you get stuck, because as long as you can, you know, put your energy into proving that you mean more to him than she means to him, then you get to stay.
That has to be exhausting.
Yeah, it's very exhausting. I've worked with tons of women. I talk with women that, you know, that's where a lot of the focus and the energy is going. And I'm like, but we're missing the main issue. The main issue is what's happening to you in this relationship, you know, your relationship with yourself, why you're dealing with him in a relationship with somebody else. What's happening to you? You know, well, she means nothing to him. Well, what do you mean to him? If he's willing to risk the relationship with you for somebody who means nothing to him, then what do you mean to him?
That's right. Exactly. Well, look, you're the one he keep creeping on. So,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So before we get into the manipulator, because she resonated a little bit over here, I'm not afraid to admit, we need to take our little break. So we're going to be right back with our guest, Sharon Matthews Fortune, on Love Wins with Benita and Friends. We'll be right back.
Five a.m. word, and we just took a shower. Once again, I'm heading home, but I'm satisfied to the bone, like so many times before. Begging for more. Now I'm running home to her. When it's you I prefer. She's got papers on me. Getting tired of sneaking in, lying about where I've been. How long can this go on? Pretending to love someone who just don't turn me on. And every time I taste your sweet, sweet lips, I make up my mind to abandon the ship. Man, oh man, she's cramping my style. I look in her face and see your sweet smile, but she's got papers on me. Across, and like it is, ain't like it was. Doesn't she know it's you that I love? Girl, you're more than just some broad eyed wine and dine. You're the sweet little thing, the sweet little thing, the sweet little thing that's always on my mind.
Got my sweater and I'm on my way back, and I started thinking, this show been acting strangely. And what is this I hear when I walk up to my bathroom door? You singing about some other woman? Let me tell you something, Mr. Looks So Good. From now on, this house is where you used to live. My, my, my. Don't we look pretty in that suit my money bought? You better come on downstairs and have a seat. But don't you get too comfortable now, 'cause you won't be here that long. Now I'm not exactly sure about what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. I gave you the best years of my life, trying to be a good mother and a good wife. I made you what you are, you hear me? I paid the house notes. I put you through school. I paid for that pretty car you ride your woman or rear men round in. Now, if I can't be number one, I will not be number two, unless I want to be. And right now, I'm in no mood to be number two. That's right, I got papers on you. And you do understand, my dear, that you must pay me to be free. That's what I said. You're going to pay me for my years and my tears and all my wasted years. And I know being with me hurts you. And I mean, you don't dig me anymore. But I'm hurting too. And you can tell that Dizzy Broad, you know, the one you singing about, the miss sweet little thing that's always on your mind, that I'm not letting you out of this unless you buy me out. I'm not going through no more hard times or bad times, because I can do bad all by myself. All by myself. Yeah, I got papers on you. But now I'm throwing them in the trash can of my memory. Now take your little albums and your little raggedy component set that never worked, and you can stack. You hear me? Just use my life up, use my body up, use all my time up.
And we're back with Love Wins with Benita and Friends. And I have my friend and guest, Ms. Sharon Matthews Fortune, on. And we're talking about her book, The Truth About the Lies, What Women Tell Themselves That Keep Them Stuck with Cheating Men. So, all right, the manipulator.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about her.
Okay. The manipulator is very interesting. She feels like, you know, she knows her man's cheating. She's not blind. She knows he's cheating. However, she's going to use it to her advantage. She's going to try to create what it is that she wants out of this information that she has from the other woman and her cheating man. She's going to use both of them to get what she wants out of the relationship. At least that's what she thinks. But if, of course, in the end, the one who's being manipulated the most is her. Now, she'll have this information, you know, of course, a lot of time, very often, the woman finds out that her man is cheating from the other woman. She decides she's going to let you know her presence and, you know, she's going to contact you or she's going to find you and let you know that she is cheating with your man. Now, the manipulator getting this information decides, oh, I'm going to flip this script instead of dealing with what is, I'm going to show her, you know, that she is not all that important. You know, she's not all she thinks she is. Who is she to call me and tell me that she's cheating with my man? You know, I'm not giving her the satisfaction of leaving him. So then this fake competition ensues, you know. So she latches into her man, you know, because she's not going to let this woman who had the
audacity. So it becomes like this competition.
Yes.
She feels like she's winning a prize, and the prize is this cheating man.
The prize is the cheating man. Yes, you all are competing for this cheating man. And I always say, okay, satisfaction. I give her the satisfaction of leaving him. Well, where is the satisfaction in staying with the cheating man? You know, where is that satisfaction? If she's going to continue to exist, you know, if she's, you know, he's not, obviously he's not ending the relationship with her. If you got to go through all of these hoops to show her that, you know, you're not going to give her the satisfaction, then he's still cheating. So where's the satisfaction in you fighting for the man who's going to continue to cheat with the woman who contacted you? So, yeah, I challenge her on that. Where's the satisfaction in that?
Oh, we got to do a whole nother book and a segment on to the woman that he cheats with, because I always thought it was so crazy, like the audacity call the wife and say, hey, your man over here, I'm cheating with your man. What is that?
yes.
That's
yes.
Just madness.
That is madness. And see, that's the other woman getting into, you know, she got her own little story going on too. She's lying to herself as well. So she's operating from her lies when she calls the woman, the wife, or the primary woman in the relationship, you know, she's operating from her lies as well. So, you know, she's told herself that this relationship that she has, and I like to call it the counterfeit relationship, because if you the side chick or the one on, you know, over here, you are the counterfeit. It looks real to you, but it's not real. So yeah, she's lying to herself as well.
So, you know, I got to share a story because I kind of had this situation, and I was confronted, you know, with my ex-husband's counterfeit relationship, you know, person. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I told her, I said, well, even if I leave him today, he ain't going to be with you.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, it don't matter. I ain't really got nothing to do with this, you know, but, you know, I wonder how many relationships end and the man actually ends up with the side woman, you know. Yeah, that's just, yeah, kind of just threw that out there, you know, because I don't know.
I don't think it happens that often that he actually ends up with the side piece, you know, yeah, side woman. I don't think it happens that often. Sometimes it does, you know, he will end up with her, but for the most part, she's miserable because, yeah, she knows what she has, you know, she knows she got a cheater. He was cheating when he, you know, when he was with her. So she's concerned about, you know, the security of the relationship throughout the entire relationship, because now you got to kind of be on guard because you know what he's all about. You already know. So,
and it has to be an exhausting existence, yeah, you know, to constantly be worried, and every time he walk out the door, you got to be checking. And
mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
I don't.
And so in that chapter, I say the satisfaction is in giving her the cheating man so he can worry her to death.
That's absolutely. Yeah, just what you want.
Yes, yes. I mean, it sometimes it works out where, you know, the woman contacts the primary woman in the relationship, the sad woman contacts the primary woman. And sometimes it works out that he stops cheating. You know, it works out that way sometimes. Sometimes it works out where he stops cheating, you know, he's been called on it. Sometimes men have told me that they were relieved that they got caught because they didn't know how to end it. So
really?
Yeah, I've heard that so often. And sometimes it works out where, okay, now this is the end of it, you know. She's contacted my wife or my girlfriend or my fiance or whatever.
So it's kind of like a relief that everything's on the table. Everybody know everything.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll end it. And, you know, and so you may have a, you know, you can have, then you have something to work with if he ends it, you know, because, and he ended it for the wrong reason. He ended it because he got caught, but he did end it. Now you got something to work with. But if he's gonna still stay in it and you got to continue to compete with her to show her that you're not gonna get her the satisfaction of leaving him, that's when I feel like you've separated from yourself and we got to get you back to your core so that you're not letting this little fragmented, wounded part of yourself jump out in front, you know, making these decisions that don't honor you.
Wonder why they ended. I bet a whole lot of them ended because the wife counting them blue pills and they know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had 10. Now you got 9 and we ain't do nothing. Where that pill?
Exactly.
And don't tell that vacuum cleaner lie. You dropped it and vacuumed it up. Don't tell that lie.
Right. Oh, I dropped it in the toilet. Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So one of my favorite characters in the book is the dreamer.
Okay.
This mm-hmm. woman needs a hug. She needs a sister circle.
Yeah. You know, when I encounter the dreamer, you know, it's all about that potential. It's potential. And it's a lot of hope built in what can be, not what is, but what can be. You know, she has hope that because, you know, he's a good guy and she sees these wonderful qualities in him. And she has hope that he's going to stop cheating after, you know, after this magical moment, event, or, you know, situation takes place, then he's going to stop cheating. And I'm going to wait until that occurs, you know. So she'll have a litany of reasons why, you know, he's going to stop cheating after we get married. I hear that a lot. He's going to stop cheating after we have a child, because, you know, that's going to solidify us as a family. And, you know, he's not going to want to break up his family. Yeah, he's not going to do this anymore. You know, he's going to stop cheating when he recommits to the church. You know, I've heard that a lot. You know, just got to get him back in church. You know,
More women are, but okay.
Yes, yes, exactly. And, you know, I have in my practice, I don't have a lot of male clients that just come in for themselves, for their own personal growth and to resolve issues. Most males that I work with come in with a female, and it's because of the cheating. So the woman believes that if I can get him into counseling, he's going to stop cheating. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so she has hope. She has a lot of hope.
Do you see women, like, before they get married, it's like they marry potential?
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
And, uh-huh. And we have this huge expectation that this is going to manifest into what's real.
Yeah we date potential and then we marry potential. Yep. Exactly. And there's that, you know, that hope and growth that, you know, he's going to continue to grow, or the relationship is going to continue to grow. And then I'll have what it is I want. And I always say, well, you know, for the woman who comes in and she says, or the woman I talk to, even if it's a, you know, friend, a relative, or a stranger, and she's saying, you know, once we get married, he's going to throw in his player card and he's going to become serious about the relationship. And I'm like, well, how about we let him do that first?
And let me see you throw your card in now. Throw your hand in.
Yeah, exactly. No, we don't want to wait. I had a little play on words in the book where, you know, I said, okay, so would you take a cake out before it's finished baking, you know, expecting to have a nice treat? No, you know,
no.
It's nice and it looks nice on the outside, but if you cut into it, it's still a gooey mess. So let it finish baking first and then take it out. So let him do his work first and then marry him, or let him do his work first and then have a child with him, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do the opposite, because it's, you know, that's like you think this thing has the magic to change him. And, you know, change comes from within. Change comes from within. And if he does not want to change from the cheater that he is, he will not.
And I think when if, as you say, like, we're not married and you're like this, and then I go ahead and marry you, despite of you being like this, what are you going to change for? You already did it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Little motivation to change at that particular point. You know, she knew who I was when we got married. She knew this was going on. She knew, you know, my ways or whatever. So yeah, little motivation. That's not going to motivate him to change. You know, as I said, if he changes, he's going to change because something happened inside of him where he then determines that, you know, he wants to love
do this
way.
Anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
But we get caught up. We've been women. Sometimes we get caught up. We're in love with a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also pressured, you know, because, you know, I guess society says we should be married and have these babies, you know? And so we gotta, you know, sometimes I guess we feel like we gotta hold on to whatever breathing flesh, you know, who gives us the attention and is willing to say, I do.
Uh-huh. Exactly. You know, we got a script sometime. You know, sometimes women live very scripted lives and it starts early. You know, I had a little scenario in the book where I said, you know, it starts with us playing with doll babies. They start to, you know, prime us and condition us to be in committed relationships, you know, to show up as the caretaker, to, you know, and if you look at a little boy and a little girl playing, they play very differently. And you'll see her trying to coach him into playing the role of the partner while she's with the little baby. You know, he's over here with his little action figures and he's fighting and, you know, rolling over, and she's like, come over here, you know. So she's coaching him as a little girl, and we go throughout the lifespan coaching them into how to be that partner that we need them to be in the relationship.
Wow. And that's interesting.
That's
I can see it, you know. I was the same way.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. We are relational beings. So, yeah, we will wait.
There are some of us who stay in relationships and cheating relationships, because this is what we saw growing up.
Yes. Yeah, that's childhood stuff is very, very, very primary factor in women staying in relationships. You know, how she was loved, how she saw love depicted, you know, what she saw from her primary caretakers, the beliefs that she heard about love, all of that plays a huge factor. Her relationship with her dad, you know, a lot of people come in and they say, I don't want to go all the way back to my childhood. You know, I want to start from here. But a lot of our core wounds come from, you know, some childhood issues. So we got to dig into that. And it does stem from things that you've seen, heard, and believe. So we have a lot of unlearning to do when we become adults, because Lord knows our parents did the best they could, but sometimes, you know, some faulty stuff ended up in our systems.
Yeah. Wow. Because I hear that, you know, like when I was talking to a friend today and we were talking about like back in the day when sometimes a man would have, you know, this family, he got another whole family, you know, in the next block, you know, with a woman and kids that kind of match the ages of the kids that he had with his wife. Uh-huh. And, you know, the women knew. You know, it wasn't a secret all the time.
Right.
And everybody just kind of stayed in there. And it became like cyclical and generational that this is, you know, this is just what happens.
Exactly. One of the characters is the compromiser.
Tell us about her.
She's at the end of the book and she's a combo. She's a little bit blind. She's a little bit of a dreamer. And she's a little bit of a settler rolled all up into one. And she is that person that you're talking about. She would have had a husband who had a relationship with the lady around the corner and she knows about it. But that lady around the corner stays in her place and she feels like her husband is respecting her enough to keep his dirt in the streets.
Yes.
You know? So she, you know, as long as he keep home, then, you know, I'm not worried about what he's doing in the streets. I used to hear that so often growing up. And, you know, that's one of those things that condition some women to stay. You know, you'll hear everybody has to put up with something, and you know, Eddie good to me.
A half a man is better than a man, and better than no man.
Exactly.
You know, I've heard that before.
Yes, that's from that compromiser. You know, it's better to be with my cheating man than to not be with a man at all. You know, so we get some of that. You know, but I said the game has changed so much that, you know, we current day don't have the same liberties that they had back then to keep the cheating in the street, because, you know, it finds its way in your house.
Social media,
text messaging, you know, cell phone, all of these other means, it finds its way to you. So it's very, very rare.
It comes in your house.
Exactly. Yes.
Look, and people like you and books like these help us be more aware, so we kind of know what to look for. Because
exactly.
In the beginning of your book, you do talk about some signs that some things that we can kind of, or I don't know if they're always mean that a person is cheating, but, you know, some change, you know, kind of raises eyebrows and it's like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, we should be paying a little bit more attention in this area.
Exactly. And I was very careful to say that this does not mean that he's cheating, but
these are some signs.
We're
all habitual. And
if
some things, you know, I pay attention to patterns. And so if some patterns change, I'm not automatically assuming that you are, but I am paying attention to why did this pattern change.
You know? Exactly. And the funny thing, Benita, is, you know, the game hasn't changed a lot. You know, it has not changed a lot. Those signs are the same signs that were signs back in. It has not changed a lot. I don't care. Just like I said, the women have these common patterns of thinking. The men have these common patterns of acting when they're cheating. You know, it has not changed a lot. So if you're with somebody who's cheated on you before and you see these signs, then I'm going to say 99.9% of the time it means that he's still cheating.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got to take another break. This is our time for our little music. So we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the signs and behaviors that are common to cheaters. So we're going to be right back with Love Wins with Benita and Friends. We're back with Love Wins and with Benita and Friends. You just heard, as I talked it, I put it in my brain. You just heard She's Got Papers by Richard Dimples Fields. So she done told you she got papers on you. You ain't going nowhere. All right. So we're talking about the truth about the lies, but women tell themselves they keep them stuck with cheating men. So before we took our break, we talked about some signs and behaviors common to cheaters. So this is interesting right here. This one, all right, under the category, Sharon, you have need for privacy.
Uh-huh.
The being more secretive.
Yeah.
The passwords on the computer, leaving the room to talk, hiding the phone and concealing the phone records. You know, so I was never a password person.
Uh-huh.
On my stuff because I forget, you know, it's just one less thing I have to remember.
Right.
And so I had to put a password on my phone like 2 years ago, maybe. And it was because I had downloaded Google Pay and they required that you have a password on your phone. And so the person that I was dating, you know, he like picked up the phone one day. And he was like, wait, why you got a password? And I don't tell, you know, if you worried, you just be worried, right? But I just kept laughing because I was like, this is just too funny, you know, because it was for me, it was completely innocent. Because, you know, because I'm like, okay, thank God I wanted the pass, you know, I could get in with my fingerprint because I would forget the password.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just funny, but that is so interesting.
Yes. That's one of those signs, you know, if that password is on everything, you can't have, you know, he doesn't want you to have access to anything or the phone is locked or it's, you know, it's always turned off or turned down or, you know, turned over to the side. It may be a sign, you know, it just may be one of those signs that, there's something that
we had dinner and he put it down face down instead of up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes. Changes in, you know, that the work habits or the work schedule, you know, that's a big red flag, you know, that,
working late and you ain't bringing in no more money.
Exactly. Exactly. Or you working late, you come home and you don't smell like you've been at work. So,
Yeah. You know, your coworkers don't like the extra old spice.
Yeah.
But you know, one good one you have here, this probably happens a lot, changes in intimacy.
That's very common. You know, reduced interest in sex with you or reduced frequency or introducing new positions, problems getting an erection. Those are very common problems that, you know, signs that there potentially could be a problem. Yeah, it could potentially be some cheating going on, some stepping out.
I can see that. Because if you come home and we ain't never did it this way, now you're going to try something new. I'm like, where you get that from? You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you better have a Kama Sutra book to back that up.
Right. Yes. And the mood, you know, the change in the mood, you know, now, you know, he's a little cold towards you or he's more distant or, you know, he doesn't want you around. He's more defensive. You know, he doesn't want to ask questions. That may be a sign, you know, it could be a sign that there's somebody else. And he, you know, he's moving away from you. You know, his temper is towards you is a little bit more short, you know.
Yeah.
He's bored with you. Maybe a sign. Could be.
Because, you know, sometimes I guess, you know, I kind of look at it like the wife usually represents the reality.
Yeah.
You know, even though she's, you know, could be sweet and loving, she's also the one that represents the mortgage, you know, all of the bills and all of those real responsibilities that you have.
Yes.
And the counterfeit relationship, that's mostly fun.
Uh-huh. That's right? Fun. Exactly. That's fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have fun over there and pay these bills.
Exactly.
So I am loving this conversation, but I want my listeners to get this book because it is good. We only talked about three and a half of the characters, but there's four more in there that they got to hear about and they got to know about. So yeah. Sharon, how can they find you and how can they get the truth about the lies?
Okay, so I have developed an author page. It's Sharon M. Fortune, that's all one word, .com, SharonMFortune.com, my name. The book is on sale there. I have some t-shirts also on the site. I have a student that developed a t-shirt, you know, we couldn't find a, COVID took away the opportunity for internships this year. A lot of kids couldn't find internships and he approached me and I said, well, let's create one, you know, and I knew I had this book and he was a business marketing major. So I said, well, figure out a way to market this book for me. We're going to use that as your internship. So yes. All the proceeds that come from the sale of the t-shirt, I'm giving to him for his education fund for his internship.
That is so great. So yeah. I'm gonna put it on my page too, because I want people to buy the shirt.
Yes, yes, yes. So yeah, when God blesses you, yep. You're back.
Pay it forward too, right?
Yeah,
I like exactly. That. So yes. And you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram.
Yes, right? I'm on Facebook, and Facebook is gonna be Sharon Matthews Fortune, LPC. I have a professional page on Facebook, and then on Instagram is smf.counseling.
Okay. All right. So all that's going to be, so wherever you got to the link for this podcast, you're going to see all of that there. So if you didn't write it down, go back to the link where you signed into the podcast and it will be there. And I really encourage you to get this book because it is a really good read. And the whole time you can be like, yep, I know her. I know one like that. I know one like that. And so I like to put things out into the universe. I like to manifest things.
Yes.
So, I'm already putting in the universe that Sharon is going to have her own podcast. So you're going to be able to hear her all the time. So I'm putting it out there and that's putting pressure on her to make it happen. All right.
Yes, I receive.
So I want to thank our production team at Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music, specifically Big P and Liam for helping me find the songs, and also on the Black Talk Radio Network for giving us a platform. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sharing, and I'll see you again next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Love Wins with Benita and Friends. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and to share the podcast. Also, visit rvasoul.com to listen to more informative and entertaining shows. #LoveWins.